Chapter 53. With Nef Dada and a dozen soldiers in Cenarian livery trailing behind him, Roth sprinted across the catwalk. He reached a small room, turned right, and pounded up a narrow set of stairs. It was a dizzying maze of corridors, walkways, and service stairs, but it would get Roth and his men to the North Tower twice as fast as any other route. Time was of the essence. So many plans that Roth had planted, watered, and coaxed into bloom over the past years were bearing fruit tonight. Like a greedy child, he wanted to taste every one and let the bloody juices spill down his chin. The Queen and her two younger daughters were dying right now, Roth realized with regret. It was too bad. Too bad he wouldn't get to see it. He hoped nobody would move the bodies before he could come inspect them. He'd given orders, but though he trusted Hugh Gibbet to carry them out meticulously, this was war. There was no telling what would happen. There was no help for it, though. There was no way he would have missed watching the king die. How exquisite that was! If Roth hadn't been dodging around corners, he'd have burst out laughing. He'd planned to have a bolt cranked in his crossbow and pointed at the king's forehead all night. He'd planned to be the one to kill the king himself, but Captain Arturian's security had been too tight. Roth had been able to get into the Great Hall, but he hadn't been able to bring a weapon. It had been a small disaster. If Durzo Blint hadn't come through for him, the entire plot would have failed. Father would have killed him. But it didn't fail. Durzo had come through for him, and what a virtuoso performance it had been. The poisoning of the guests had been brilliant. Roth had been in the kitchens as the food tasters had tried every dish, and not one of them had even been ill. The delivery of the king's poison had been a marvel of athleticism. The concoction itself had worked even better than Blint had promised. Roth would find more work for that man. With Durzo as his tool, Roth would dispense such exquisite agonies as he'd never before imagined. Herbs! He'd never even thought of their potential. Durzo would be just the one to guide him in all their uses. Who would have imagined that herbs given to the king would push Aegon over the edge? He had positively giggled when the Lord General had relieved the fool king of his head. It had been better than doing it himself. He'd never had the particular thrill of watching a man commit what he himself must have seen as treason. There was something very fine about seeing a man damn himself. Roth and his men had tarried in the Great Hall just long enough to see that the Lord General and his men had taken the bait and were on their way. And then they had run. If he had planned this right, and Roth planned everything right, he'd taste even finer fruits than Aegon's betrayal tonight. Father would be so pleased. 600 of the God King's elite Highlanders were to arrive at the castle within the next half hour. 1,000 more would arrive at dawn. The king had told Roth that he wanted to lose less than half of those by the time he arrived with an occupying army the next day. Roth thought he would lose less than a quarter, perhaps far less. He'd pass his Urdtan brilliantly. The God King would appoint Roth King of Cenaria and take the title of High King for himself. In time, he'd pass the entire empire to Roth. Pushing future glories from his mind, Roth came to a stop in the last narrow corridor as his men caught up. The door before him would open on unseen hinges into the stairway at the bottom of the North Tower. Roth motioned to his men. They slammed the hidden door open and burst into the hall, swords flashing. The two honor guards posted at the base of the tower didn't stand a chance. They barely had time to register surprise before they were dead. "We hold this door. Aegon doesn't go upstairs," Roth said. The prince and princess are next. He checked his crossbow. Logan sat on the edge of the bed, waiting. He closed his eyes and rubbed his temples. He was, for the moment, alone in the bedchamber at the top of the North Tower. Janine Gyre had left him to get ready. To get ready. Logan felt ill. He'd fantasized about lovemaking, of course, but he'd done his best to confine his desires to one woman, and that woman wasn't Janine. When Sierra had accepted his proposal, he'd thought his fantasies were going to come true. They'd been planning their wedding just this morning. Now this. He heard the soft scuff of bare feet on rug and looked up. Janine's hair was down, curling luxuriantly halfway down her back. She wore a silky, translucent white gown and an anxious smile. She was breathtaking. Every hint her evening gown had given last night, gods, was that only last night? Was fulfilled. Every sensuous promise exceeded. Logan's eyes drank in her curves, her hips sweeping to a narrow waist, waist swelling to those perfect breasts, curve yielding to curve with the sweetness that inspired art. He feasted on the gold of her skin in the candlelight, the darker circles of her nipples showing faintly through her gown, the flutter of her pulse at her throat, the bashfulness in her stance. He wanted her. He wanted to take her. Lust roared through him, dimming the rest of the room, swallowing all the world except the beauty before him and his thoughts of what he was about to do. He looked away, ashamed. A lump swelled in his throat and cut off his breath. "Am I so ugly?" she asked. He looked up and saw her arms crossed over her breasts, instant tears in her eyes. Pained. He looked away again. "No. No, my lady. Please, come here." She didn't move. It wasn't enough. Logan met her eyes. "Please. You're so pretty, so beautiful, you bewilder me. You make me ache. Come sit with me, please." Janine sat next to him on the bed, close, but not touching him. Logan had known little about her before today. Even his father had considered her too rich a match for him. He only knew that she was well-liked, sunny, settling down, and not yet 16. Logan could understand sunny. She'd practically glowed at dinner until her father had spoken, the bastard. Logan understood now a little of how his father must have felt, seeing the woman he loved married to that. The term settling down had been applied to Janine's brother, too. For the prince, it had meant that people thought he was finally leaving off his more obvious wenching and starting to assume some of the responsibilities of ruling. But Logan imagined that for Janine, settling down probably meant she didn't play tag in the castle anymore. She was so different from Sierra. And she was his wife. I was engaged to another woman this morning. A woman I loved for years. I still love her, Janine. Can I call you that?
You may call me whatever pleases you, my lord husband.
Her voice was chilly. He'd hurt her. She was hurt, and for all the wrong reasons. Damn, she was young. But then, he hadn't been the only one who'd been handed a lot of surprises in the last day. Have you ever been in love, Janine? She considered his question with more gravity than he would have expected from a 15-year-old.
I've liked boys.
It's not the same, Logan snapped. He regretted his tone instantly. Are you going to cheat on me? She shot right back. With her? It hit Logan between the eyes. This couldn't be easy for Janine either. How must she feel, liking him, marrying him, knowing he was in love with someone else? Logan put his face in his hands. I swore our wedding vows because the king asked me to, because the nation needed it. But I swore those vows, Janine. I will be faithful to you. I will do my duty. And your duty to produce an heir? She asked. The chill hadn't thawed at all. He should have known better. But he answered, yes. She flopped on the bed, pulling her gown up roughly and spread her legs. Your duty awaits, my lord, she said, turning her face away, staring at the wall. Janine, look at me. He covered her nakedness and, thank the gods, looked only at her face as he spoke, though even now her body cried out to him. It made him feel like an animal. Janine, I will be as good a husband as I can, but I can't give you my heart. Not yet. I look at you and I feel wrong for wanting to make love to you. But you're my wife. Damn it! It would be easier if you weren't so damn beautiful. If I could just look at you without wanting to do what we're supposed to do tonight. Do you understand? She obviously didn't, but she sat back up and folded her legs under her. Abruptly, she was a girl again, blushing for what she'd just done, but her eyes intent. Logan threw his hands up. I don't blame you. I don't understand it myself. It's all so twisted up. Nothing makes sense since Aline... Please. Don't talk about my brother tonight, please. I've lost everything. Everything's wrong. How could he be so selfish? He'd lost a friend, but she'd lost her big brother. She must be aching too. I'm sorry, he said.
No, I'm sorry, Janine said,
her eyes teary, but her gaze steady.
I've known for my whole life that I'd be married to whomever the country needed me to marry. I've tried not to even have crushes because I knew that my father might tell me any day that he needed me. I've been trying not to like you for 2 years. I know you think I'm a silly girl, but do you know who some of my potential husbands were? A Siouran prince who likes boys. Another who's 60. An Alatiran who's 6. A Lodrakari who doesn't speak our language and already has 2 wives. Caladorans who treat their women as chattel. And a Modaini who's been 2x widowed under suspicious circumstances. Then there was you. Everyone likes you. A good king would have made the match to heal the split between our families, but my father hates you. So I had to watch you, hear stories about you from my brother and from all the other girls. Hear that you're brave, you're honorable, you're loyal, you're smart. My brother told me that you were the only man he knew who wouldn't be intimidated by my mind. Do you know what it's like to have to use small words and pretend not to understand things so you don't get a bad reputation? Logan wasn't sure he understood. Surely women never had to pretend not to be stupid. Did they? When I found out I was marrying you, Janine said, it felt like all my little girl dreams were coming true. Even with my father behaving like... And Sira?
And Aline? She took a deep breath.
I'm sorry, my lord husband. You've been honest with me. I know you didn't ask for this. I'm sorry you had to lose her so I could have you. I know you've had a lot of bad surprises recently."
Her chin raised, and she spoke like a princess.
"But I'm going to do all I can to be a good surprise, my lord. I'm going to strive to be worthy of your love."
By the gods, what a woman. Logan had looked at Janine last night and seen breasts. He had seen her giggling with her friends and seen a child. He was a fool. Janine Gyre, was a princess, born to be a queen. Her poise, her deliberate self-sacrifice, her strength awed him. He had hoped his wife might grow to become a good match for him. Now, he hoped that he might grow to become a match for this woman. "And I'll do all I can to make our love grow, Janine," Logan said. "I just..." She put a finger on his lips.
"Will you call me Jenny?"
"Jenny?" Logan touched the soft, smooth skin of her cheek and let his eyes roam over her body.
"I'm allowed to do this. I can do this. I should do this.
Jenny, may I kiss you?" She abruptly became an uncertain girl again, until their lips met. Then, even with all her hesitations, uncertainty, and naivete, to Logan, she was all that was warm and soft and beautiful and loving in the world. She was all that was woman, and she was altogether lovely. His arms circled her, and he pulled her close. Some minutes later, Logan pulled away from her on the bed, turning his head toward the door.
"Don't stop," she said.
Hobnailed boots pounded up the stairs outside the door. Lots of boots. Not even pausing to pull on his clothes in the darkness, Logan rolled off Janine and caught up his sword.